Go ahead and take out your Bibles and something that you can take notes with. Hi. I think that was to Chris, but I'll say hi anyways. How's everybody's kids doing so far? I'm going to be honest, I'm just barely making it on the front row with mine right now. Go ahead and open up your Bibles to John chapter 1. Merry Christmas, everybody. Merry Christmas. Oh, that was a good one from over there. I don't know who that was from, but Patrick Poor. Nice. The big, deep Merry Christmas. Love it. We are wrapping up our celebration of the Advent season tonight. If you have been with us here at Antioch over the course of December, we have been trying to participate in the tradition of Advent in a more traditional way than we have in the past. And I know that's been great for me personally and for my family. I've heard from so many of you that you've enjoyed that as well. So if that is familiar to you, welcome to the culmination of Advent. If you are not sure what that is, you might be wondering what this right here is. This is an Advent wreath, something that we have been doing over the last four Sundays together, traditional participation in the season of Advent. Advent is a Latin word that means arrival. In this season leading up to Christmas that starts tomorrow is a season of celebrating the arrival of Jesus in our life at his birth. We have been saying that part of Advent is celebrating the fact that he came. And then we have also been celebrating the truth that he comes. He comes in our lives every day. He comes to us in salvation. He comes to us as he pours himself into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And that is worthy of celebrating, his arrival in our lives every day. And we look forward to his coming again. We long for that coming arrival and in the Advent season. We embrace the joy as we look back and see that he came, and we celebrate that he comes, but we also embrace the tension, the longing, and the waiting of his return. The Advent wreath is something that goes back a long time across all different types of denominations as we participate in celebrating in the arrival of Christ. And the kids in A-Kids all month have also been talking about Advent following the same rhythm that we have been doing here in grown-up church. And if you've served in A-Kids, then you've participated in that. We're so thankful for your participation in that. So we're going to have a couple of kids come help us light the Advent wreath one last time as we do the whole thing together. So Harper Hellier is going to come on up. Where are you at, Harper? Harper is going to light the hope candle for us. Do you want me to light it for you? Yeah, that's fair. It's a big responsibility. And as you know, the candles and the lighters have been giving us problems. So on this last time, we're going to this big flamethrower. And Harper's going to read a scripture for us. I'll hold it for you.
May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope.
Thank you, Harper. We've been celebrating that God is the God of hope. Owen Cody, come on up, young man. Do you want a lighter or do you want me to? Okay. Owen is going to help us light the peace candle, and he is going to read from Isaiah for us tonight.
Isaiah 9:6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
Excellent. John Poor, come on up. Jono. I know there's lots of stairs to pick from. Do you want a light or do you want me to? Oh, yeah, you will. Like the pink one. Yep, the joy candle. Oh. Here you go. I'm going to help you with that. Yes. Everybody knows one of the most important rules in life as a man is never miss an opportunity to light a fire. So I respect you. Way to go. Jonah's got a reading on joy for us tonight.
And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear, and the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord."
And finally, Kate Hefton is going to come up and help us with the... Oh, I was told it was Kate Hefton. Oh, nice. Do you want to introduce yourself?
What?
Do you want to introduce yourself?
I'm Sarah.
That's right. That's right. Sarah Yoder is going to help us with the love candle.
John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life."
Thank you. So we have been lighting all of these candles as the weeks have gone on, and tonight we get to complete the Advent wreath as we celebrate the Lord with the middle candle, which is simply the Christ candle. Would you stand with me for the reading of the Word of God? Somebody was giving me applause. Thank you. After I read, you can clap. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Lord, we thank you so much for all that you are. We thank you for these words tonight that we read, and for these candles that physically remind us of your life that is indeed the light of men. We thank you tonight that you shine in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. We lift up your name and we ask that your name would be a light to all the nations tonight as we celebrate you and to everybody here in this room. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen. You can be seated. And now my round of applause. Yeah, thank you. I would venture to say that I am confident that all of us know what it is to be afraid of the dark. Am I right, kids? Have you ever been afraid of the dark? Yep, my kids have been afraid of the dark. Yep, kids, raise your hand if you've ever been afraid of the dark. Yep. Yeah. Adults, you ever been afraid of the dark? Yeah. We've all experienced what it is to be afraid of the dark. And, you know, they say it's something you grow out of, but that's not really true. You just kind of learn to stuff it deep, deep down. I know that for me, I don't spend too much of my time afraid of the dark these days, except when I have to go into Rosen Smith's room in the dark. Because I never know what wretched, monstrous toy is going to try to eat my toes. Or like a Lego I'm going to step on. Or something that is going to try to snipe my shins. It's a dangerous place. It's a dangerous place in the dark. That's where I spend most of my time when I'm afraid of the dark. Darkness can definitely be scary. And as we've demonstrated, it's something common to all of us. And it's kind of funny, you know, to think about, oh yeah, afraid of the dark, until you... Then it's like, no, but seriously, the dark's really scary. It really is a scary thing. Darkness in your life, darkness in the world, darkness on your insides, darkness on your outside can be a very scary thing, and you definitely don't just grow out of being afraid of the dark. Darkness has a way at times of kind of sucking the hope right out of you. It can just kind of take all the hope out of your life. Darkness, when you're surrounded by darkness, it can make you feel all kinds of things. Sometimes in the dark, you feel overpowered or trapped, contained. You ever been claustrophobic in the dark? That's not a laughing matter. You feel controlled. You can feel captured by the darkness when you don't know how quite to get out of it. This is why I'm sure most of you, we won't ask for a show of hands, though we probably could. Most of you have probably said the phrase before, speaking about being hopeless, I'm just kind of in a dark place right now. Or you know what it is to look back on a moment of your life and say, wow, I was really in a dark place back then. You had no hope. And when you're in a dark place, what you need the most is for a light to shine in that darkness and overcome the darkness. When you're in the darkness shrinks your ability to see things, to know things, to understand things. But we experience what the song puts so well. We experience a thrill of hope when the light turns on and it breaks through and it shines and overcomes that which was overcoming me. The world gets bigger again when the lights turn on. The future doesn't seem so far away when the lights turn on, and the walls around you don't seem to be closing in quite so tightly when the lights turn on. When you're stuck in the darkness, darkness can bring you a lot of anxiety. It can make you nervous. It makes you uncomfortable in the mystery of the unknown. The darkness is scary because you don't know what's there and what's not there. You don't know who is there or who's not there. You know, part of being at peace is being comfortable, right? It's like kind of the whole point of the word. Being comfortable is a huge part of being at peace. And not knowing where you are or who's around you or who's not around you, not knowing what is or isn't surrounding you is quite uncomfortable. It's very hard to be at peace when you're in the dark like that. But when the lights come on, peace floods in as the unknown becomes known. The nervous mysteries dissolve and restless imaginations are made still. Isn't that what your children need when they're telling you that they just need the nightlight? They need you to take away some of the mystery because it's gotten uncomfortable in here. When you're stuck in the dark, darkness has a powerful way of bringing you fear. John West, last week, talked to us about joy and that gratitude is the source of joy. The dark makes it hard to see what there is to be grateful for. It can kind of turn off the source of joy. When you're stuck in the dark, us humans, we don't default towards being joyful about that. The dark doesn't bring us naturally to joy. The dark makes us default to fear. If you're stuck in the woods in the middle of the night, and you don't know where you are, and you hear rustling over in the bushes, and a voice says, hey, come here. Your first thought is not, oh, joy, I'm saved. Darkness brings fear, and it covers you, and it can immobilize you and surround you. But when the light comes on and shines in the darkness, you do find joy. When you find something to be grateful for, when you can see where you are, when you can see a road forward. You can see that maybe you really are saved. Somebody has come to help, and you can see that that person is friend, not foe. The joy, or the light brings joy. And darkness, when it surrounds you, can make you feel very, very alone. Not only does the darkness make you feel overpowered, make you feel anxious, and make you feel fearful. But darkness has this way of telling you that you actually have to face all of those things all by yourself. It's that darkness, not just when the lights are off, but the darkness of isolation. It's an especially thick darkness, the darkness of isolation. And sometimes, even if you turn the lights on, that darkness won't go away. Because what if you turn the lights on and no one's there? The darkness of isolation only goes away when love comes near. Right, kids, when your dad snuggles up next to you in bed, then you don't need the lights on so bad. When your wife tells you that she sees the hard work that you've been putting in. When your friend randomly reaches out to you or shows up for you. When someone who loves you comes close to you in the darkness, that life is the light that shines in the darkness. That life of the person that you love is the light that shines in the darkness, and even the darkness of isolation cannot overcome that life. We all know what it is to live in darkness, to fight against darkness, to experience darkness, to want freedom from darkness. We all know what it is to live in a world that is full of darkness. A world that is fighting against darkness, experiencing darkness, wanting freedom from darkness. And tonight marks the end of the Advent season as we transition from Advent to Christmas and we celebrate and rejoice at the arrival of Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. We've been lighting these candles to remember that Jesus is the light of the world. That's why there's candles. That's where we light them. We celebrate that Jesus, the man, is the light of the world. We light the hope candle and we remember that Jesus is the God of hope. And this does indeed bring light to the world. Jesus is the God of hope. No matter the circumstances, there is always hope. As we celebrate the birth of Christ, we are assured that because of the birth of Christ, God is always faithful to his promises. Every word that he has spoken is true and will come true. In salvation, we know that there is a power that is greater than the power of sin and greater than the power of darkness that has overcome us. Because we know that Jesus will return, there is no darkness that we may experience in this life that will outlast his eternal life or overshadow his eternal goodness. He is indeed the God of hope. And Jesus is the Prince of Peace as we light the peace candle. We all know and experience and see and recognize that the world shifts and the world shakes. The things that we trust in, they come and they go. Every single one of us has things that we have trusted in the past that have let us down. Every single one of us has things we are trusting in right now that will let us down. But there is a king. There is a king that reigns, and his name is above every other name. There is a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And though even the earth gives way, his throne endures forever, and we will be united in him and with him for all of eternity, the Prince of Peace. Jesus is the one who brings great joy to all people. There is no status that you have to achieve. You don't have to look a certain way or be a certain way to accomplish freedom and filling for yourself. We celebrate joy in this season. The king has come. The king comes, and the king is coming again. For all who are hungry and for all who are thirsty, for all who would come and be found in his name, this is good news of great joy. And lastly, the candle of the love candle. Jesus, we remember, is the manifest love of God. He is the Son sent of the Father to fill us with the Holy Spirit, who is love. We remember the love of God, that Jesus took on our very nature to be the propitiation for our sins, that we might be baptized into a death like his, so that we might be raised to his new life. We remember the manifest love of God in Jesus Christ, that we might be born of God, born again in God, born again to God, born again for God, to eternal life, which is in itself knowing him. You are a human being created in the image of God to know him. We have all sinned and fallen short of his glory. And the wages of sin is death. But we remember the free gift of God, that he came and took on flesh, that he died our death to sin, to forgive our sins, and raised to new life, to give you new life. This is the free gift of God, that he comes. The Lord Jesus comes to you, offering this salvation by grace, through faith, not by works. And it's so that you can be adopted into his eternal family and call the living God Father by the Holy Spirit. And this is the free gift of God, that he is coming again to bring you, into his eternal kingdom. Not just as a slave and a servant, but as a co-heir with him of the grace of life. The love that I pray that you experience with people in your life this season is only just a foretaste of the love of God for you. The gifts that I pray that you receive this season is only a foretaste of the gift of grace he offers you. As we complete Advent tonight, I pray that you are filled with hope, filled with peace, filled with joy, and filled with love tonight. As you remember, and I pray that as you make your confession, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. And in him was life. And that life is the light of all mankind. And that light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. I want to invite you to stand tonight. We're going to take communion together. If you didn't get the elements for communion as you came in and you'd like to participate, you can raise your hand and somebody on our host team will come around to you. Just keep your hands up until somebody brings the elements to you. Jesus gave this rhythm to us, his followers, on the night that he was arrested to be crucified. And he gave it to us so that we could practice remembering him. The team's coming, guys. You're doing great with your hands up. Keep them up. Jesus gave us this rhythm to practice remembering him. Isn't that what Christmas is? It's a rhythm of remembering Jesus Christ. In many ways, communion reflects the entire season of Advent every time that we take it. As we take communion, we take the bread and we take the cup and we remember that Jesus, the man, really did come. Yes, he was fully God and he was fully man, born with a real body and real blood, dying a real death. His real body really was broken. His real blood really was spilled. Every time we take communion, we celebrate and we remember that he comes, that he is present with us. He is present with us, and we are in covenant with him. His real broken body and his real spilled blood right now, right here, really does offer us forgiveness for our sins and offers us new and eternal life in his name. And every time we take communion, we express our longing for him in his return. 1 Corinthians 11:26 says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." If you are not yet a follower of Jesus tonight, I would encourage you not to participate in communion. This is a spiritual act of partaking of the body and the blood of the living Jesus Christ. And we are encouraged not to partake of it in vanity. In other words, don't take of his body and his blood if you don't mean it, if you don't believe it. But if you have wandered from the Lord and you're here tonight, I want you to know that you are invited back right here, right now. You are invited back to hope and peace and joy and love. You are invited back to the living Christ tonight. As you take communion, I invite you, confess your sin, surrender again, and turn back to the light of the world that he might overcome your darkness. If you're here tonight and you're not a follower of Jesus, but you want to be, the invitation is also open to you. You are invited tonight in the grace of God, by the power of his broken body and his spilled out blood, to approach this King of Kings who sits on his eternal throne, and to experience that his throne is a throne of grace. To come and confess that you have sinned. And when you do that, his promise is that you will receive mercy and help in your time of need. If you're going to participate in remembering the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, I encourage you to prepare the bread as I pray for us. I want to read our text one more time together tonight. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Lord, we thank you for your body tonight. We believe that you are the Word, and that the Word did become flesh. We believe that you are the light of all mankind, that you shine in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome you. We believe that you are living tonight. We believe that you are with us, and we believe that you are coming. As we remember your broken body, Lord, we pray for your healing and your grace and your mercy that you give over every person here tonight, that you would heal in every way that it is needed, physically, spiritually, emotionally, relationally. Bring us into you and let your light shine in and through and on us tonight. We love you, we celebrate you, and we remember you. Let's take the bread together. Lord, we thank you for your blood poured out for us, for the forgiveness of sins. Lord, we come to you humbly tonight, confessing that we have indeed sinned. And we need your grace and your mercy, and we receive your precious blood. We thank you that we stand here tonight purchased by your blood, that you would love us this much. Lord, we stand as we partake of your blood with our brothers and sisters in the room, around the city and around the world and throughout history, unified with you in your death and in your resurrection, purified by your blood and baptized by your Spirit into one another and into you. We celebrate you and we love you. We thank you that you have built us to be your church. And we ask that you would strengthen us, that you would purify us as we partake again tonight of your blood. We pray, oh God, that we would be people who call each other forward in the righteousness of Christ, the forgiveness of this precious blood. We thank you, Lord, that by this blood, you overcome all sin and all darkness in our lives. We make you our confession, and we partake of you this evening. Let's take together. Merry Christmas. I want you to go ahead and grab the candles that you got as you walked in. Some folks are going to start walking around. Excuse me. Lighting some candles. Go ahead and pass the light as it gets to you. Share the wealth. We're going to do this as an act of remembrance and celebration of Jesus, the light of the world. And we're going to sing and worship together as we finish up our time this beautiful Christmas Eve.